Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Well, we made it to 2022. Happy New Year. And yet, it's January. January is like June in Southern California. Just dreary, gray days. Today is just such a perfect example of what we expect during the winter months, isn't it? Here we are in the dead of winter. The leaves from the trees are gone. The grass is brown. The sky is in perpetual gray. What a contrast to the glories of Christmas, which we just celebrated. The candles at our house have kind of burned down. I like having candles around during Christmas time. The multicolored decorations that we have served their purpose. And when all of it is put away, everything looks pretty dull and ordinary. We've celebrated the holiday season from Halloween through New Year's Day. But now in the bleak month of January, the festivities are over. We postpone or we sometimes cancel our activities during this time of the year, not necessarily because of COVID, though that hasn't hurt, but we because the weather just can turn and be so brutal. And now when we look in our mailboxes, instead of finding those wonderfully beautiful decorated Christmas cards with warm messages, we get that dreaded plain black and white booklet from our friends at the IRS. Have you not already caught the doldrums of post-Christmas? But you know, it doesn't have to be that way. The church year doesn't make provisions for the gloomy. Though Christmas is over, it concludes on a day in which we call the day of Epiphany. Epiphany celebrates the arrival of the wise men, aka the Magi, who visited Jesus. But the day seems to be overshadowed by Christmas. Epiphany, as I mentioned before, is celebrated on January 6th, so we're a wee bit early. The time in between Christmas Day and Epiphany is called the 12 days after Christmas. So technically, we're still in the period of Christmas until this coming Thursday. Now, I'm not trying to escape Christmas, by all means, the Christmas season, but I do believe there is a message in the readings from St. Matthew that we should pay attention to as the Epiphany season unfolds this dreary time of year. The word Epiphany is a Greek term meaning manifestation or to reveal. If you've ever had an epiphany, it's like a light comes on in your brain. Epiphany to the church means the revealing of Christ to the Gentile world. And the first Gentiles to acknowledge this, Jesus, as the King of the Jews, were these wise men, or magi, as they were called. And while most of the manger scenes show the shepherds and the wise men worshiping Jesus together in the stable, it's more likely that the Magi arrived as much as 2 years later, when Joseph and Mary had no doubt found some better lodging than the place for the animals. For dating the visit of the Magi, remember that they didn't leave their home in Persia, which is kind of in Iraq today, until they saw the star. And their only means of travel would have been by camel or by donkey or horse. And it's also significant that these wise men visited Herod. Herod ordered the slaughter of all the male infants in and around Bethlehem, 2 years old and younger. So now, on the day of Epiphany, our eyes are drawn heavenward to the star in Bethlehem. You know that in order to see anything, you need light. The message of the star is one of light, just as we heard of from Isaiah. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you. And the nations shall come to your light, and the kings to the brightness of your rising. I don't know of anything that demonstrates better the magnificence of God's creation than looking up into the heavens on a clear night and seeing thousands of twinkling stars. Even more profound and mystifying is seeing the change in the heavens with the movement of the stars during the seasons. When we look at images in the Hubble, from the Hubble telescope, we see the immensity and the depth of space. It just appears to be unending, kind of like God. And when you look at those images, how small does it make you feel? God's creation is so much greater than we are in our little neighborhoods. The drama of this day is the arrival of the wise men following the star. Foreigners who saw the glory of the Lord from far away. And the light of that star has continued to shine to this very day. These wise men were most likely astronomers, philosophers from Persia. They had kept the teachings of Daniel and the scriptures of Israel they had collected, and also the wisdom of other nations during that time frame. And what's interesting about the Persians was that their religion was dualistic. And what I mean by that is they meant for the body and soul were two separate things. They were separate. And what was spiritual, they saw as being very good, and that which was physical was evil. They studied the heavens because they believed that what was happening in the heavens were signs of what would happen on earth. And the message they received from the heaven must have literally surprised them, because the sign they saw in the heavens pointed them to a human being who was divine. Something physical that was good. And yet, instead of dismissing it as contradictory to their belief, they boldly followed that star. Meanwhile, back in Israel, where the population believed that body and spirit were absolutely one, and that God had created the physical human beings and called them good, they were looking for a physical Messiah who would come to establish a new nation, saving people not only physically, but spiritually. And what was important to these wise men was that Isaiah's prophecy indicated the Savior would come to redeem not only Israel, but the entire world, which includes us. The amazing pilgrimage of these foreigners from Persia to worship and honor the king signaled the fulfillment of this prophecy. Even though Jesus has come, today we still search for a Savior. Astronomers, physicists, and philosophers still scour the heavens for a sign telling us how we got here. Medical researchers analyze the human body and mind in order to figure out just what makes us tick. We look for meaning everywhere we go, don't we? And most of us at one time or another have had an inspiration, an unveiling of some mystery previously unknown or not understood. We grasp for that small ray of understanding, But understanding our Creator is kind of like understanding the creation, the universe. It's too much. It's too immense for our limited understanding. But as soon as we gather some small particle of enlightenment, we realize just how much more there is for us to know. And so it is with God. Just when we want to settle down and relax in our faith, God sends us on another course. That can be disconcerting, to say the least. For we are creatures of routine, of habit, of ritual, of tradition. In fact, it is sometimes the tradition, the ritual and habit, the routine that gives meaning to our lives. That's not always a bad thing. We look for order, for connection, for logic. But what God gives is often surprises us. Just when we think we have our feet firmly planted, God pulls the rug out from underneath our feet. Look at the events of that time. The wise men were looking for a king. Logically, they went to the place of a reigning king. In this case, Jerusalem. You go to royalty to look for royalty, right? But the child king wasn't there. Even though King Herod instructed the wise men to find the child for him, saying that he also wished to worship him, God changed the course of the wise men, telling them to go home by another way. God's way is not always the way of the routine, the ritual, the tradition, or habit. And if we follow God's will, chances are our lives are not going to take a logical course, at least from our human perspective. You see, the logical course would have left Abraham enjoying his wealth and comfort back in Mesopotamia. But God called him to go to Canaan. The logical course for Sarah was to accept barrenness as her lot in life. But no, God called her to bear a child at the age of 90. The logical course for Moses would have been for him to continue to tend the flocks for his father-in-law Jethro in the land of Midian. And yet God led Moses to confront Pharaoh and move the children of Israel across the Red Sea and to the Promised Land. The logical course for Ruth would have been for her to return to Moab, to her family where her husband died. But God called her to remain with Naomi and go to a foreign land with a bitter and demoralized old woman. And by following God's lead, Ruth was to become the great-grandmother of King David. The logical course for Joseph would have been to divorce Mary. But God called Joseph to wed Mary and to give the child a house and lineage. The logical course for the wise men would be to stay in Persia. But God's course took them on a different journey to a tiny country, almost insignificant, called Israel. The logical course would be to find a child king in a palace, but they were led to find the child in a house in Bethlehem. It might appear as though God were toying with all these people, but Matthew tells us that there's a reason for everything. We have a notion of the way life is supposed to be, the course we're supposed to take. And when our plans are thrown awry, we often say, "What's going on? This doesn't seem fair," and indeed, it is a surprise. If we're all going by a sense of logic. But like the heroes of faith just mentioned, we ought to expect that God will send us on other courses too. Courses that we would never have chosen for ourselves. And yet when we follow God's lead by faith, even the most miserable experience can give meaning and purpose. I hope you've heard that. Each day is part of your journey to fulfill the course that God sets before you. And if you follow, each day will be a journey in faith in which you will find yourself closer to God and definitely within His will, something we all wish for ourselves. This journey isn't just for individuals, though. It is for communities, nations, and even the church. So indeed, God calls us as a church to reach beyond ourselves. You know, each year our church council and our committees get together. It's called Roles and Goals. The Roles is R-O-L-L-S, because we usually have some sort of food there. And the goals that we're going to be discussing for the year to come. And we wonder often, what is God doing with Blessed Savior? What course are we on? Should we expect surprises? I say absolutely. And we should be open to those surprises. We should listen to the angels and follow God's course for our lives. For God's way is to follow the path of serving others. Abraham moved his family and flocks to the promised land. Sarah raised a child in her old age. Moses freed the people from slavery. Ruth followed her mother-in-law to Israel. Joseph and Mary went to great lengths to protect and raise Jesus. And the wise men left home in order to worship a baby. What illogical and unexpected directions are you getting from above? At first glance, his directions may seem ridiculous. And it may only be much later when you can look back and see the great thing God has done for you, or for the church, or for our country, or for the world. The beauty of following God's direction is knowing that you're not just following the whims of a God who, for sheer pleasure, arbitrarily changes our course in life. God has a course for us that is as deep and mysterious as the universe, but it's not a blind course. It will always be a path, a righteous path, which leads us. Psalm 23 says, He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. My friends, listen for the course God wants you to take. Celebrate that course as we begin this new year in 2022. Amen.